great to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and it's great to have a reason. It's great to have a God that we serve, that we know is our Lord and our Savior. Really like those songs. I like that song that Miss Judy and Miss Kendra sing. And Brother Roy, I really did like that song this morning. That's a great, great message there. But what's been on my heart, and I thank the Lord for it, for over a week, is this subject. It all starts with God. You know, we're living in a world today that needs to remember why we're here on this earth. They need to remember the past, the history of the United States, and about how this country was founded, how it was founded by people who, for the most part, I'm talking about the very large majority, believed in God. We need history books that tell us that. But folks, we need preachers that tell us that. We need Sunday school teachers that tell us that. You know, there's a motto that I say sometimes, it's not about us, it's about Him. And I'll just tell you, I don't know why that keeps coming back to my heart and mind. But if we ever, I believe, get to the point that we realize that without God, we're not anything, we'd be in a whole lot better shape. I've got a drawing on the wall in my office at work, and it is of a turtle on top of a fence post. Got a little barbed wire there, and this is just a thought that God gave me. I heard this statement one time, that when you see a turtle on a fence post, you know it didn't get there by itself. A lot of people come in and they say, well, what's that? A turtle on a fence post. Turtle can't get up there by itself. And what you need to realize and what I have realized in my life is that I am nothing without God. If you ever get to thinking that you are something without God, it'll be real quick that God could just remove His hand and show you. You know, in the Bible, it talks one place about where the word Ichabod was written over the door. And what Ichabod means is the glory of the Lord has departed. The biggest fear that I would ever have in my life is not that I would lose my good paying job. It's not that I would go home and all of my possessions be stolen or gone or destroyed. But it's that God's hand would be removed from my life. Because I honestly will tell you that I had rather be in a one-room shack, much as I love air conditioning, without air conditioning, than I had to be in a palace and God's hand be removed from my life. There's another story in the Old Testament about a man who's married to a woman. Her name was Abigail. And his name was Nabal. And Nabal means fool. The Bible talks about in the book of Psalms, it said, the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. You know, I'd hate for God to be removed from me, but I'd hate for God to be able to look at me and say that my name was Nabal. Because I don't think that I need God. And you know, it's unfortunate today, but that's where a lot of people are at in the United States today. You know, if you just look at, and I don't know how often some of you travel abroad, but I want to tell you, it's changed in Europe. When you go to Europe and you travel through the cities, a lot of the churches that people used to attend have been taken over by the government, and the government keeps those churches up, but they are there more as a place of history than they are houses of worship today. Because the change in that country and the drifting away from God and the lack of the power of Christianity has actually caused the churches to close and the religion of Islam to take a grounded root to where what's there and what used to be there are far, far different. In mine and your life today, I mean, what we need is we need God. What America needs is America needs God. Remember, it's not about us, it's about Him. If you got your Bible, I want to read in Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 16, verse number 17. I love these verses. It says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. And listen to this next part, and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, I want to tell you, our message this morning is it all starts with God. Well, I will tell you that it all ends with God, but I can't preach the whole Bible. I have been accused of trying to do that. I want to try to be conscious of your time and bring what God's given us. But what is the purpose of your life? Think about this, and I want you to consider these things. The purpose of your life is greater than you alone. It is more than your personal fulfillment. You know, we're living in the church age that I believe when you study the Bible, which is the church age or the day of the church of Laodicea. The Laodicean church age represents a time. Now, it was an actual church that was mentioned, and the things that happened there happened like the Bible said, but if you look at it in church ages, I believe that's where we're at today. The word Laodicea, if you really understand it, it means my rights or civil rights. The day and time that we're living in today, what people live for is their rights, their wants. That's all you hear about. It's everywhere. You know, what I believe is right, what I want to do, so much so that someone told me this week they were looking online trying to find some things for a baby shower, and they said they couldn't find anything for a boy or a girl because it was not gender specific. Well, let me tell you, God made us male and female. Different message, but God's word has not changed. It's more than your peace of mind. You say, well, isn't that the point? Let me make sure you understand something. Peace with God and your peace of mind are two different things. The Bible talks about in the New Testament that there would come a time when people would have their conscience seared with a hot iron. I have seen people reject God, reject God, reject God until God quit speaking to them. Why? Because their peace of mind was troubled by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and they wanted to be shed of the conviction of God. They have killed their conscience. It is more than your personal happiness. Well, you know, so what, isn't that what life's about? Not necessarily. Paul said for Christ, he said, I've counted all of the things of this world but lost for the cause of Christ. And it's even greater than your family. That's right. God wants to be first in your life. Not your spouse, not your children, not your parents. God. It's greater than your career. Well, you say, don't you want us to be successful? Yes, but what you call success and what God has for you may be two different things. It's greater than your ambitions. Nothing wrong with being ambitious. I was part of a church one time where the pastor tried to convince just about everybody that he could to go into business. And you know what his ultimate goal was? He knew if you went into business, made a lot of money, he could build more buildings. Nothing wrong with that either. God wants you to be successful, but God wants you to be successful following him, not walking away from him. Amen. It's greater than your dreams. I heard a song this week that talked about a rock star preacher that would not awaken us from our dreams. I didn't know this morning, as I stood, that God gave me this message a week ago, that I would hear that and it would speak to my heart so much. But what we want, if we really want to be obedient to God, is we want to listen to God and follow God. Now think about this. Every person, whether they're willing to accept it today or not, here's a question that must be answered. Where did I come from? Why am I here on this earth? What is my purpose? What is life all about? Well, if you read the scripture verse that we said, all things were created by him and for him. Now, to move forward this morning, first thing we want to do is we want to look at the wrong approach to the purpose of life. And this is where I think so many people are today. Their focus is not outward on the Lord, but it's inward towards self. And when you focus on self, these are some questions that you deal with. You ask yourself the question like this, what do I want to be? We hear these youth and, you know, school. I mean, I've been in schoolrooms and I've heard these things even later years in life in college, what do I want to do with my life? What are my goals? What are my ambitions? What are my dreams? What do I want in my future? And the words there, I and my, is turning in. What do I want to do? What do I want my future to be? But focusing on yourself will never reveal your life's purpose. In Job chapter 12 and verse 10, Job wrote this. He said, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Now, if we believe there's a God and we believe he created the heavens and the earth, and the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that the heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. I began to look this week and study just on the hands of God. Y'all remember that old song we used to sing? He's got the whole world in his hands. The whole world in his hands. If that's true, I really want to understand what God's purpose for my life is. Now, in order to do that, I think you must begin with God. He is, number one, he is our creator. God, the Bible says, created the heavens and the earth. Now, if you're not going to accept that and you're not going to believe that, then where do you think we came from? I've studied a good bit about evolution. I did it on purpose so that I could stand up in a college class and just tell them how foolish they were, hoping I could still pass. But I studied it and I read it and I looked at the quotes and I looked at the fossil records and I looked at the missing link, and then I began to stop and think about it. And I thought, it takes more faith to believe this than it does just to believe the Bible. It takes faith either way. Because the scientists ultimately come to the point that they tell you there is no missing link, and you have to be able to put these things together by faith to believe in evolution. Did you really come from nothing? If you come from nothing and you die and you have nothing in front of you as a future, what does that say about your life? Not only that, but have you ever heard it said that if you teach your children that they are animals, they may end up acting like it? You see, you got to first look at God as your creator. The second is you must accept his truth. Until you understand and accept the truth that of life, then life will never make sense. Because it is only through God or in God that we understand our origin, that's where we came from, that we understand our identity. What am I? What are you? If there is no creator and there is no God, it's kind of funny, and I'm not going to pull my hands in like a T-Rex. My wife says, you look so funny when you do that. You know, it's nothing that turned into something and it crawled out of the sloppy soup. It sprouted out arms and legs, and eventually here you are, grown up germs. Is that true? Or am I a child of God? Am I created in his image and in his purpose? That gives me such an identity that I know my life means something. It helps me understand why that I am on this earth. As I preached a couple of weeks ago, God wants children. Let me tell you what that means for you. David said, he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knoweth right well. You read in that book and it says, the Lord doth know how the bones do grow in the womb. It gives life meaning. And if you understand that you are a child of God, created by God, I want you to understand some significance that you have. The Bible says in one place that man was made a little lower than the angels, but that God crowned him with glory and honor. Now here's some uniqueness and some significance. God created, I believe, the heavens and the earth, and I believe in heaven he had the angels and cherubim to worship him. That's what we understand from reading the Word of God. Well, they were created to do so, created in beauty and perfection until, as the Bible says, speaking of Satan, until iniquity was found in him. And he was cast out of heaven, and there were those, based on what I read in the Word of God, that followed him. We call them devils, demons, whatever. You can call them angels because that's what they were when God created them. But I want to tell you something unique about you and why you're significant as a child of God and why we need to understand who God is that God gave you a free will. In America today, if people would just understand there is a God, and I tell people, nobody's going to force you to serve God. Nobody's going to force you to follow God. You can choose, as Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, here's where I'm at. I don't care what America does. They're trying to turn this country into Village Venezuela right now, but I'm going to tell you something, what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep serving God anyway. I'm not going to go crazy because they say everything in the world is all right. God's word's not changed. And let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit lived in me regardless before the time. I've been saved. But let me tell you the significance. God gave you free will. That means in His power and in His sovereignty. And I believe that God is so powerful as Creator, and He has so much sovereignty that God had to pull back and hold His power in, or through the sovereignty of God, you would have no choice but to follow Him. But He gave you free will. And He lets you decide. But I believe it grieves the heart of God today. When He looks at a country, it's like in the 5th chapter of Isaiah, where He prepared a vineyard and He pulled out all the rocks and He pulled out all the weeds and He set a tower therein and He set a wine press therein. He said, basically, I've prepared this vineyard that it would have everything that it needs to be fruitful. But it wasn't fruitful. I believe that's the way God looks at America today. And when we look at our life and we look at where we're going, I think it's important that we begin with God and we understand these things, because if we don't, then we get on paths that go contrary to God and we're trying to figure it out on our own, and every other path that you can take without God leads to a dead end or a hurt. You see, the Scripture says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Something that I think that we need to do as Christians today is we need to be learning how, if we don't know how, to be very sensitive to and listen to the Spirit of God. It's important. You know, when I was growing up in church, and a lot of the churches, folks, were about a quarter of the size of this one. You have 40 people on Sunday morning, you had a crowd. But one thing that I learned growing up in those churches is I learned how to follow and listen to the Spirit of God, because I was watching people who knew how to do it. We must learn how to listen to and follow the Spirit of God, because going our own way leads to a dead end. Here's dead end number one. Sometimes it's like this. We want God, but we want God to be what we make Him out to be. Using God for your purpose is a dead end. You see, you were made for God, not vice versa. Sometimes I think that's where we get sideways in our relationship with God, is we think God's there for us to do whatever we need Him to do when we need it. It's not that we're here to serve Him and follow Him, but we are. Matthew 16:25 says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And can I tell you, it's scary to surrender to God. It's scary to say, "God, I'll follow you wherever you want me to go." I remember when I was in Bible college and I was in the room with maybe 20 guys, and most of them were members of the church we were at. We had a little satellite office there, and I can remember the pressure, and I'm talking about pressure for people to go to the mission field. So much so that one time we had a classroom, maybe 100 people in it, and they had a guy come in and speak, and he pretty much told everybody in the class, if you don't go to the mission field, you're not right with God. I told Kendra, I said, hold me down. Hey, I've been around people all my life that know how to follow God. I'm not going to listen to somebody that I knew better than that. But I sat in this Bible college class, and here's what happened. It's fearful to surrender to God. But let me tell you something. In Bible school, it's real easy to get a profession of faith out of a 3 or a 4 or a 5-year-old. That don't mean God's dealing with them. That's why we need to know how to follow the Spirit of God. But I can remember sitting in class and seeing hand after hand go up. Yes, I'll go to the mission field. Yes, I'll go. And I remember one guy specifically that said, God has called me to, and he pointed to the map, and it was Madagascar. They never got a confession of missionary work out of me because God didn't call me to go. Didn't make me real popular. But you know what I saw? I saw person after person after person confess that God had called them to do something that God hadn't called them to do. And the majority of them today are out of church because they were following man and not following the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. We see them on Facebook. And by the way, everybody sees your Facebook. And sometimes Kendra says, I said, look at this. And you know, it grieves my heart and it burdens my heart. And you know what the problem is? When you're following man and not following God, you're going to go down the wrong road every time. It's a personal relationship with a living God. I can remember one of our youth went up to camp. And I want to tell you something. Camp's powerful. It's powerful. You got 200 teenagers in a room, and they're going down, and people are getting saved, and people are making commitments. And, you know, it's popular when everybody's going to go. It's popular when everybody's going to say, yes, me too. And I remember one of our young ladies, a very bright young lady, a Christian that follows God in her entire life that I've never seen her do anything else. She said, you know, and she told the group, she said, I really feel like God has put a call on me to do something. But I wouldn't go down there and make that profession lest if something happens and I don't do it or can't do it. She said, I'm going to wait on God. That meant more to me than if she had run down in front of the crowd and said, I just want to tell everybody I'm called to do so and so. Who does God please with? He's not pleased with the one that stands up and says, hey, I'm going to do that. He's pleased with the one that quietly steps back when nobody else will and does it not to be seen because they do it for the honor and for the glory of God. Dead end number one is using God for your purpose. How about number two? Dead end is self-help. What's self-help? Well, that's a New Year's resolution. That's turning over a new leaf. That's coming like it says in the book of Matthew where it said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, the unclean spirit does, seeking rest, and he findeth none. Then he goes back to the place that he came out of, and he finds that empty, swept, and garnished. Now what this is talking about is the unclean spirit coming out of a person and walking, and that person is empty, ready to be saved by the grace of God, but they never get saved. That unclean spirit comes back, and when they come back, they see that old habitation place, and God's never come in. And he said, then he goes and gets and takes with him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they come in and they dwell there within this person. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's what happens to a person who says, I believe I can do it. I believe I can make it. I'm going to get better. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to quit drugging. I'm going to quit living in sin. You're not going to do anything without God helping you. Amen. You'll end up in worse shape than you ever were. You can't do it by yourself. Dead end number three is trying to find your own path without God as your leader. My life verse is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says this, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. This is important to me because I've preached before about getting saved, and then I preached about surrender. Got saved at 12. Surrendered at 18. Now, I remember coming to the point in my life that I just said, whatever it is, God, if I'm walking with you. And folks, I want to tell you now, Another birthday coming up, and I'm getting older. My hair's not growing. Nothing's working. I want God's hand on my life. I want to be where God wants me to be now more than ever. You know, when you try to find your path without God, then you're finding what you think is the right career, what you think are the right dreams, what you think your life should be. But what about what God wants? You see, I think it's so important that we discover the purpose that we were created for. And here's two options, and you only have two. Number one is speculation. That's what we do a lot. We speculate. You know, we guess. We theorize. We try to look at what our options are, and we try to figure it out. And let me tell you a place that I don't like to be in. It's when I think I'm trying to figure it out. It's, you know, it's like, God, I want you to speak to me. I don't know what to do right now. I'm not sure which direction to go. I don't know quite what decision to make. And then, of course, what we do sometimes is we begin to think, well, God, are you there? God, do you see what I'm going through? Do you see the storms? Do you see the trouble? Do you see the challenges that I'm facing? But if I believe my own preaching, what did I say earlier? I said it's when you cannot see God, that it's oftentimes when God is actually doing the most. But when you theorize, you say things like this: I've always thought that life is... Or you say, the best guess or theory that I can come up with is. But we don't want to speculate. We don't want speculation. You know what I want? Revelation. I want God to do something divine. I've said this at times in the past about this church, and I still feel this way today, and I feel this way about my life as I move forward. I want God to do something so that when people look at it, they don't say, look what they were able to do. Look what they were able to do at Hiram First Baptist Church. Look what they were able to do over there. But I want people to know well enough that they can say, have you seen what God has done? So what's the easiest way to know what God's purpose is? To ask Him. Ask Him. You know, sometimes we go to a counselor, or we go to a theorist, or we go to a psychologist. But how much do we go to God? And just say, God, show me. God, speak to me. God, give me wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 says this, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You see, what I find as I look is God has actually, in many ways, already revealed His purpose for my life, for your life, for our great country. You see, the Bible tells us why we are alive, created by Him and for Him. The Bible tells us how life works. Another thing the Bible does is it tells us what to avoid. So many times, you know, when we see people in trouble or we have trouble in our lives, if we'd have just paid attention to what God's Word said, we wouldn't have had to go down those paths. Not only does it tell us why we're alive, how life works, and what to avoid, but the Bible tells us what to expect in the future. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 11, speaking of Jesus Christ, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. Now let me tell you what that word predestined means right there in the context of that sentence. That means God chose you and God loves you. That's what it means. In the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image. God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's you. God loves you. God has a plan for you. God cares about you. And you ever got to the point in your life that you're going through something? And I hear this often. So don't think I'm talking about you. You say, well, I told the preacher that. Let me tell you, just about everybody's told the preacher this. People say, what have I done wrong that I'm facing all these challenges in my life? What have I done that I would have to be here, that I would have to be struggling, or that I would have to be hurting the way that I am? Let me tell you something as a child of God. God has not forgotten you. God loves you. God sees you. God cares about you. And regardless of the difficulty that you're facing, God has a plan for you. Now, I want to give you three insights into our purpose, and then we'll be done here in just a minute. Number one, you discover your identity and purpose through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Without a relationship with God, what is your life? Sometimes when I look at people and they don't know God and they don't have God as their personal Savior, I don't know personally how they make it. Sometimes they say things about me and they say, well, you're just weak. What's life about without God? What's your future? What is your plan? What are you going to tell your children without God? The next is, God was thinking of you long before you ever thought of Him. That's that word, predestined. God looked forward in the future, and you know, when Jesus was on the cross, He talked about, if they do these things in a green tree, what will be done in a dry? One of the seven cries from the cross. You know what Jesus was doing? He was looking at that crowd and seeing them there as they persecuted Him and hung Him on a cross after seeing Him, after seeing the miracles. And He looked all the way to mine and your day and He says, I know what my children are going to face in 2021. That's why John in the 17th chapter, he went and prayed to God the Father on mine and your behalf. And he said, Father, not that you would bring them out of the world, but that you would keep them from evil. See, God's thinking of you many times long before you thought of Him. And along with that, God's purpose for your life predates your conception. Here's what I believe about God. When you and I look at time and we look at life, we can remember yesterday. We can look forward to the future and we can plan. But I believe God is what we call omnipresent. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. He can see the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. You say, well, how do you believe that? Well, how do you pray to God? You ever thought about how when the altar's full and there's people praying, that God is able to hear each prayer and He's able to distinguish and deal with each individual all at the same time? Because He's God and we're not. Remember, it all starts with God. The next is, the purpose of your life fits into a much greater and larger purpose. Sometimes in life what we want is what's for me and for my and I. But sometimes when I look at people and I see the greatest servants, and I heard this, I was on a college course about the seven laws of the learner and the seven laws of the teacher. A person who's called to be a teacher often knows that the people that they are teaching may go on far beyond where they are. A person who's called to be a teacher, I don't know if you've ever thought about how much education sometimes that it takes, the continuing education units, and the fact that they are willing to take a job and work for less money than they can make many other places because they're called to be a teacher. Teaching kids that sometimes they don't even think are listening. But the man gave this story, and I'm going to give this, and then we're going to ask him to come with a song. And Kendra and Miss Judy, if y'all could, I'd love for y'all to sing that song again. It was so good. But the man said he pulled an experiment on his teacher, and he said, I deliberately did this because I knew how the teacher was. He said, the teacher was up in front of the class teaching, and I just turned and I looked out the window. He said, I was listening to every word that he said, but but I was just going to see how he responded to me. The teacher could not stand it. The rest of the class was paying attention, but he walked over and looked in my face. He couldn't stand it that I wasn't listening because he wanted, he had the passion to teach and to give. Can I tell you, a lot of what God may call you to do in your life is not what you want, but it's to maybe even help somebody else. What if somebody in your Sunday school class will be the next great evangelist to bring revival in the United States, and all God wants you to do is faithfully study and bring the word? What if there's a family that's coming to our fall festival that doesn't know Jesus, and they may come and they may bring a basket load of little kids that just maybe seem like they're a burden. But God wants to save them. And God wants to love them. What about the mother? And mothers are important. Who gives her whole life to raise children, to love them, to do laundry, to fix breakfast. For kids that really don't know, even know how to appreciate it at the time. For them to grow up and be what God wants them to be. You see, the truth is, God has a purpose for your life, but God has designed you for eternity. And sometimes when I look at a world that doesn't know God and I think, you know, I don't know what you're going to do without God. I mean, where does your hope come from? But see, if we believe these things and we believe what the Bible says, what it basically teaches us is everything that we do in life, it matters, but it not only matters for life, but it matters for eternity because God has designed you for eternity. For in conclusion, without God, life makes no sense. Without God, you cannot and you will not fulfill your purpose of life. Without God, you cannot take the place that God has predestined and designed for you in eternity. Why? Remember that free will. A sure decision. You see, because He lives, life has a purpose. I've delivered to you the things that God has placed on my heart this morning. It means so much to me, and it matters to me. The things of God matter to me. The fact that you're here, it matters to me. I'm so glad to see you. And can I tell you that God's glad you're here this morning? I'm going to ask you as they sing this song to rise to your feet. The song says, do you know the Savior? Most important decision you'll ever make in your life is to accept Christ as your Savior. Let Him be the master and Lord of your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you know Christ or you believe in Christ, but you're struggling trying to know what God would have you to do. Maybe just got something going on in your life and your heart that you'd like to pray about. Remember, how do I know? Ask God. As they sing this song, this is your opportunity to pray. If you'd like to come, would you please come?
Is gentle. like the pictures behind the words.